Morning, everyone. Makos Daf Yud Gimel. We're behind today. We'll have a chance to make up a little bit of ground. The Yud Beis Amud Beis is shorter. Yud Gimel Amud Aleph is shorter, so we'll have a chance. But let's get going. We have a lot we need to do today. On Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph is where we left off yesterday. So we're right at the point where we're going to discuss the machlokas between Rav Yossi Haglili and Rabbi Akiva, whether or not there's a mitzvah of the Goel Adam. Ritzach b'shogeg kills accidentally, inadvertently, and he has to go into Golis, he has to go into exile, he goes to the Arei HaMiklat. In the Arei HaMiklat, he has protection, he has sanctuary. We're over there, he is not allowed to be killed. Once he steps foot out of the Arei HaMiklat, which is not exactly specific, as we learned yesterday, it's not stepping foot out of the Arei HaMiklat, but stepping foot out of the Tchum of the Arei HaMiklat, so it provides for him. He loses that protection, and now he's subject to the attack of a Goel Adam. Is a Goel Adam have a mitzvah to kill him, or is a Goel Adam just have permission to kill him? So that's subject to a debate in the Mishnah. The Mishnah back on Yud Aleph Amud Beis presents machlokas between Rav Yossi Haglili and Rabbi Akiva. Rav Yossi Haglili is of the opinion that it's a mitzvah biyad Goel Adam to kill him. Rabbi Akiva says it's not a mitzvah; it's just simply reshus, it's just simply permission. We turn to the Gemara now. We're on the Gemara in Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and we're at the two dots. And Rotsech Sheyatzach Chutzatchom, etc. Tana Rabbanim. We learned in a brayso of a Ratzach Goel Adam Esther Rotsech. The Torah uses an ambiguous phrase to describe the killing of the Goel, the killing of the Rotsech by the Goel Adam. It says Viratzach, right? Viratzach is and he killed, right? It's not instruction. It seems to be more passive. However, Rav Yossi Haglili does not agree. Mitzvah b'yad kol adam. Ein kol adam. Rishus b'yad kol adam. Divrei Rav Yossi Haglili. So it's a mitzvah for the kol adam. And for somebody else who would like to do it, rishus, it's permission. Rabbi Akiva Amar rishus b'yad kol adam. V'chol adam chayav n'olav. Again, remember we learned just yesterday. It's either chayav n'olav or ein chayav n'olav. The Gaon's reading of the Gemara and the Rambam's reading of the Gemara is Ein Chayav Nolav. Okay. My time under Rav Yossi Haglili. What's the reason behind Rav Yossi Haglili? Miksiv im Ratzach. Okay. Rav Yossi Haglili believes that if the Torah would have wanted to express itself in the form of something which is voluntary, something which is not obligatory, it would have said im Ratzach, if he wanted to kill him. The Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says viratzach, and he kills him. So Rav Yossi Haglili believes that the Torah here is giving us by way of instruction. He killed him, meaning he has the mitzvah to do so. V'Rabbi Akiva miksiv yirtzach. Rabbi Akiva says no. If the Torah wanted to be instructive, the Torah would have said yirtzach, he should kill him. Okay, so that's so it's an interesting machlokas over here. What does the Torah need to say in order to give us instruction to do something? So Rav Yossi Haglili says the Torah would have to go out of its way. It's like really what the debate over here is, what's the default in the Torah when the Torah says something? Is the default a form of instruction, or no, is it just simply a suggestion? Right. All the mitzvahs are not suggestions, they're instructions. But for example over here when it says viratzach, so Rav Yossi Haglili says that's instruction. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, that's not instruction. If it was instruction, it would say, yirtzach, right? Lo sinaf, lo signov, right? Those are instructions. Viratzach is just simply, you know, and he happens to kill him. Okay. Marzucha Bartovi Amarav, Ratzech Shiyasech Chutzat Chum Amasagol Adam Vahargo, Neragalav. Marzucha Bartovia quotes in the name of Rav that if the Rosech walks out of the Tchum and the Goel Adam finds him and the Goel Adam kills him, that's called murder. Now that position of Rav is an Amora, that position of Rav is not going like anyone. It's not going like Rabbi Akiva, and it's not going like Rabbi Yossi Haglili, because even according to Rabbi Akiva, who is the more stringent position, he says you have permission, you could do it, which means that it's fine, right? It's acceptable if the Goel Adam kills the Rotzeach. And meanwhile, Rav says that if the Rotzeach steps foot out of the Arei HaMiklat and the Goel Adam kills him, no good, that's murder. So, come on, Loka Rabbi Yosef, Loka Rabbi Akiva. Loka Rabbi Akiva. It's not going like either position. Who Damar Ki Aitana? So the Gemara says, fine, there's a third opinion. Rav is choosing not A, not B, but C. There's a third opinion which we have not yet introduced ourselves to. Detanya Rebbe Elazar Omer Ad Amdu Lifnei Ha'ida Lemishpat Matam Lamar Lefisha Nemav Ratzach Gol Adam Es Rotzeach. The Torah does give license for the Gol Adam to kill the Rotzeach. Yachol Miyad. I might have thought Miyad, meaning do it. Meaning you don't need any judicial process. At the moment that he steps foot out of the Ir Miklat, good, do it. Tamar Lamar Adam Duluf Ne'ai Dalim Mishpat. So this Brisa, this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Interesting that Rav would not choose Rabbi Yosef Lili, not choose Rabbi Akiva, but choose Rabbi Eliezer. But the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is that even after he steps foot, you need a new trial. Right, because basically the Gol Adam now wants to kill the Rotzeach, right? And so, based on the pasuk of Ad Amdu Lifnei Ha'ida Lemishpat, you need a new trial in order to allow this killing. Rav Yosef, Rabbi Akiva, and what are Rav Yosef and Rabbi Akiva going to tell you? Obviously, they don't think that that's pshat in the pasuk. Hi Ad Amdu Lifnei Ha'ida Lemishpat. My darshi bay, homi bay lelicha detanya. No, they need the pasuk, but for some other halacha. Rabbi Kiva Omer, minay l'sehen shen shero echad shaharuk esanefesh sheim amitzen oso an shiamdu bebeisen acher. We talk about this often, where beisen see something themselves. Now, generally speaking, if they see something themselves, they don't need witnesses, right? Well, the whole point of witnesses is so that information will come in front of Beis Din. If they see it themselves, so they don't need the witnesses, right? We talk about this by Kiddush HaChodesh, when you see the new moon. So if Beis Din sees a new moon, okay, good, let's be Mekadosh. But over here, however, when Beis Din sees a murder was done right in front of Beis Din. Right? There, Beis Din cannot act. Beis Din now has to step down, act as witnesses, and go in front of another Beis Din in terms of that. Why? So we'll get to why in just a moment. Tamalamar Anamdulif Nehaidal Mishpat Ashiyama Beis Din Acher. So Rabbi Kiva says we learn from the pasuk. Good, we learn from the pasuk. Why should Ritzicha be different? Because by Ritzicha, remember, we always have an agenda. Our agenda by Ritzicha is we like to try to get him off. If the judges were the witnesses. If they're the ones who saw, so when they go to trial, it's going to be very difficult for them to find arguments to excuse them when they themselves saw the murder. So they need to step down, they need to serve as witnesses, and other judges who can maintain objectivity are going to go ahead and try the case. Fine.
Earlier in the series, everybody else knows
that. Right. That's before you go. But how do you learn that pasuk?
It says that if the guy leaves the
Ir Miklat,
and someone kills, and he's killed by
Golan Dam, right. That's, I mean, when you go through Rabbi Elazar's Brisa, he takes you basically step by step through that thought process. Meaning, V'ratzach Golan Dam Eser Rotzeach Yachol Miyad. Right, that's the Havamina. The Havamina would be, a simple reading is, I could do it right away. There's no reason to think otherwise.
How do you read the puzzle? I don't understand how do you read. I could understand the same with Chachila. If you took the two psukim together, the Chachila, if he leaves the Ir Miklat, he should go in front of a Beis Din. But the pasuk says, if he is killed.
Right. It is a tremendous chiddush by Rabbi Eliezer. Right. I don't know. It's a chiddush. It's a big chiddush.
According to Rav, I don't understand. I mean, what is the advantage of the Ir Miklat then? If somebody...
Well, because when you're in the Ir Miklat, you're protected.
So he's going to be protected also as soon as he comes down.
And when he goes out, he's protected. But when he goes out, he's subject to now being killed. But according to Rabbi Eliezer and according to Rav, you need a trial. You need a new trial for that. Okay.
Considered the goal of murder if he kills.
Correct.
It'd be the same as in the Ir Miklat and outside. So once he goes.
The only difference is that once you're outside, you can now take him to court and say, "I want to kill him," and the court will. Ha- have to hear the case, and the court may allow it.
One second, didn't they call somebody? Heard the case before they went to the
meeting? Yeah, and then and
what is it,
so I know it's.
So what is it on
the, I understand. It's a big. It's. I'm acknowledging. It's a very big chiddush according to Rabbi Lazar. It's a huge chiddush.
What is the court going to say different than the first one?
I don't know. I don't know how. I don't know. You're right. The conclusion of the court seems to be obvious. Tanu Rabbanan. Im yatzo yatzar rotzeach en le'ala b'meizit. Okay. A couple more halachas before we move on to the next Mishnah. Right? Sometimes, you know, you're stuck to the ir miklat, and you like to walk around, and you know you're allowed to go outside of tchom, and let's just say that you're not careful. And by accident, you walk outside of tchom. So you don't intentionally walk out of tchom, you do so by accident. So it's a new definition to the word shogeg. Here shogeg means walking outside of tchom, but not intentionally. I'm not to walk outside of tchom. I just do so. It was just an accident. So Tanu Rabbanan, im yatzo yatzar rotzeach en le'ala b'meizid b'shogeg minayim. The double lashon of yatzo yatzar tells us that even if he leaves it b'shogeg, so that is he's subject to be killed. The hatayim will enter another brisa b'meizid ne'erag b'shogeg gola. So if he does so b'meizid, he's allowed to be killed b'shogeg. He's sent back to exile. So lokasha. So that we have a machlokus amongst tanayim. We don't know authorship of any of these Tanaim, but we have a machlokus amongst Tanaim. Ha kamanda amar armina dibra Torah kolashon bnei Adam. Ha kamanda amar lo armina dibra Torah kolashon bnei Adam. The double language yatzo yatsa, is that there to teach us an additional halacha, or does the Torah just sometimes simply, is it a little bit repetitive sometimes? Yatzo yatsa, the double lashon tells us, you know, just simply if he were to leave, but not with the double entendre of if he leaves b'meizid, and even if he leaves b'shogeg. Okay, Amar Abaye Mistarba Kamandar Medibator Kolashem Bnei Adam. Abaye says if left to svara, I think this should be the halacha, right? Shelo Yisof Chama Mitchilasa. Look, I think that only if he leaves b'meizid, then and only then is he subject to the whims of the Goa Hadam. But if he leaves b'shogeg, no. I don't think the Goel Hadam has the right to kill him then. Why? Matchilasa b'meizi nerag b'shoge gola afsofo b'meizi nerag b'shoge gola. Look, how did he get there to begin with? Right? If it's b'meizid, so obviously they kill him. That's murder. Shogeg, he goes to Golos. I don't think, this is now Abaye saying misvara. I don't think when he takes his little stroll and walks around the Ir Miklat and the Tchum of the Ir Miklat, it should be any worse. Meaning, if he leaves b'meizid, kill him. If he leaves b'shogeg, so just send him back to the Ir Miklat. How does who know? The Goel Adam is going to have to ask. I know it sounds funny, but yeah, the Goel Adam is going to have to ask. Do you know you're outside the Ir Miklat? If he says, yeah, and I don't care.
You have to have witnesses for this event also.
Right.
It doesn't sound like you're talking about the Goel Adam. You keep saying Nerag. And the way that...
Well, because it could...
talking about the court principle.
Right. Principally, it could be anybody that could kill him.
Nah, it sounds to me like the best of us.
I don't know. Bazin, Bazin's going to kill a shogeg?
That's the machlokes.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But backtrack a second. What the halacha is according to Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Kiva?
The halacha is like Rabbi Kiva. Rishas. Rishas.
And the Tchum exists or that doesn't exist?
Tchum, yeah. Yeah.
The Tchum exists.
Yeah. Tanicha, that we learned in one braisa. Avsharag beno, nasa lo gol hadam. Okay. Last point before we move on to the next Mishnah. Okay, real drama, real soap opera. The father kills. So one braisa tells us that the father kills a family member. Let's say he kills by accident one of his sons. Right? So one braisa says, beno nasa lo gol hadam. That the son can become a Goel Hadam. So the way this braisa sounds, kipshuto, is that if in the event the father is a killer, b'shogeg, the son can become the goel hadam and kill the father. Okay? Wild. And then b'tanya idach, and we looked at another braisa, ein b'no na'aseh lo goel hadam. That the son cannot be a goel hadam. Okay. Now, two braisas, obviously at odds with one another. Lema. Ha Rabbi Yosef Galili, ha Rabbi Akiva. So let's suggest the following. One Bryce is Rabbi Akiva, and the other Bryce is Rabbi Yosef Galili. Meaning, what the Gemara is suggesting is that the Bryce that says, go ahead, right, to the son, go ahead, kill your father, that's Rabbi Yosef Galili, because Rabbi Yosef Galili says, it's a mitzvah of the Goel Hadam to kill the Rotzeach. So even though there's generally this principle of Kibbut Avaim, you got to honor your father, you got to honor your mother, killing them is certainly a slight to their honor, to say the least, right? But nevertheless, if you're Rav Yosef Galili, you have a mitzvah to do so. You know why one mitzvah should be doche another mitzvah?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, that's...
Especially this
one. I hear that. This is a suggestion the Gemara is making. The Gemara is going to retract on the suggestion.
This isn't being like but you shot in his for tzitzis.
Right, I understand. This is a big one. I understand. We were talking about the killing of a parent. Most you must. Correct. It's a big... Right. Okay, I'm with you. Rabbi Yosef, but that would be Rabbi Yosef Galili, and Rabbi Akiva would say, no, the son can kill the father. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, the killing of the Rotzeach is only a Rishos. It's only permissible. It's not obligatory. You have the mitzvah of Kibbut Avaim. The mitzvah of Kibbut Avaim is going to override the mitzvah, the Rishos of the son killing the father. Okay. The Tizbara. Bein laman damer mitzvah, bein laman damer Rishos, mishari v'amera b'rav huna. V'chein tan debe Rav Yishmol, l'chol ein ben nas ha-shliach, la'adav la'akosav la'klosav, chutz mimesu shari amar Torah lo sachmo. The Gemara says, either way, it's ridiculous. It can't be. Can't possibly be. We know, we learned already, that a son cannot be, a son can't even hit the parent. Right? Let's say the parent's Chayv Malkus. And let's say that the normal whipper of the Beis Din happens to be his son. So the son's going to have to say, look, it's my father, I can't do it. I excuse myself from that. And that's just talking about whipping when it's a mitzvah. If whipping when it's a mitzvah is not allowed, you can only imagine, right, that killing, even when it's a mitzvah, is not allowed for the son to do. So the Gemara is, and the only exception is the exception of Mesis, right, where the Torah says, Lo Sachma V'lo Sechasa, but with exception to Mesis, someone who entices others to be Ovid of Avodah Zarah, you can't do it. So there's no way, even conceptually, we can ever entertain the idea that the son's going to kill the father because the father's a Rotzeach and the son's a Goel Hadam. That can't be. So the Gemara says, El Elokasha, Habib no, Habib ben Beno. So we're talking about the difference between a son and a grandson. Okay, now what that means is the following. If, let's say, the father was a Rotzeach and he kills one of the sons and the other son now wants to be the Goel Hadam, no. No. Can't do it. Right? That's Beno. Ben Beno. If the grandfather accidentally kills his son, right? And now the grandson wants to be a Goel Hadam and kill off his grandfather, that yes. Yes, that you can do. Look at Rashi, an important Rashi over here at the end. Had the Tanya ain't been onasa Goel Hadam, if no, shall it say Kamar? The Had the Tanya been onasa la Goel Hadam, if no, shall Harug. We're talking about the son of the murdered, Kamar Shuhu Ben Benosha Rotzeach, and Rashi ends off with four words: the Einu Muzar Al Kvodo. You don't have an obligation to honor your grandparent. You only have an obligation to honor your parent. You don't have an obligation to honor your grandparent. Consequently, if your grandfather is a Rotzeach, so now you have an option. Maybe according to Rav Yosef Galili, a mitzvah to go ahead and to kill your grandfather. Okay. Yeah. So this is not for now. It is a discussion. I've discussed this in the past. Right. From this Rashi, it seems very clear that there's no mitzvah of kibud saba and kibud. Right. The Rashi says it. Rashi says it straight out. Right. Einam ozal kvodo. There's no azara to honor your grandparent. You look at Look at Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlokas over there. The Rama thinks that you do have to honor your grandparents. He presents an opinion that you don't. Huh? Yeah, correct. All right, not for now. Okay, another time. You can ask me about it later. I'll give you more information. All right, Mishnah. Okay, next bit of Gemara is going to be a little bit challenging, a little tricky. Okay, trees, tree talk. Okay, Elon, shuhu omed besochat chom, v'nofo note chutzat chom. You have one of those big trees. It has a trunk. It's got a lot of branches. Let's start off with the following case. The tree itself is within tchum. The branches are outside, hovering outside of tchum. What is the definition? Where is the tree? Meaning we know physically where the tree is. But legally, halachically, where is the tree? So the Mishnah here gives us an interesting conclusion. One, by the way, where if I felt like I took a poll over here, I felt like nobody would get the right answer, or most of you would not get the right answer. Yeah. Because it's counterintuitive. Right. Ha-kol holech achar hanof. The branches is where the tree is legally. Okay? And that means that if the branches are inside the tchum, the tree's inside the tchum. Even though the trunk is outside of the tchum, nevertheless, the branches is what establishes where the tree is. If the trunk is inside the tchum, but the branches are outside the tchum, the tree is outside the tchum. Okay. Possibly. Very possibly. Okay. So that's. So we'll hold it. Hold it. We're gonna discuss this at length. But right now, what we know is the Mishnah Makos, and the Mishnah Makos tells us that the definition of where a tree is based on where the branches are. Not where the trunk is, but where the branches are. Okay. And that means, let's just put this into our Gol Hadam discussion. So that means now, that if the if our murderer likes climbing trees, okay? He's a young murderer. So he likes climbing trees. So if the trunk of the tree is inside Tchum, and he climbs up the trunk, and he goes to the branches, but the branches are now outside of the tchum, he can be killed by the Goel Hadam.
Okay? He escaped,
though. He's trying to save his life. Right? Maybe. So he can be killed by the Goel Hadam because the branches are outside of the tchum. Right. And let's go the other way. If, let's say, he steps outside of the tchum, goes up the trunk, or let's say he stays inside the tchum, takes a ladder, and climbs up to the branches. The branches are inside the tchum. The trunk is outside the tchum. He's okay? Because the tree is legally inside the tchum since the branches are inside the tchum. Okay. That is the Mishnah and Makos. The remainder of the Gemara says, I'm going to challenge you based on Mishnayos in Seder Zeraim. Mishnah Maaser Sheni. Ilan Shehu Omed Venota Lechutz. Period. Mishnah Maaser Sheni. We know the halacha is that when you have Maaser Sheni fruit, you bring it up to Yerushalayim and you must eat it in Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni fruit outside of Yerushalayim. Okay. Now that we know that you're allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, you can only eat Maaser Sheni fruit in Yerushalayim, where do you have to be? So the Mishnah Maaser Sheni tells us that you have to be inside the wall. What if we have the scenario of a tree where the trunk is inside of the walls and the branches go out, or the tree is outside the walls and the branches go in? So the Mishnah Maaser Sheni makes it real easy for us. The wall is the wall. The wall will separate whether you're inside or you're outside. The Mishnah tells us, I don't care if the tree's outside, the branches are inside. If the trunk is inside and the branches are outside, I don't care. If you're inside the wall, you're inside. If you're outside the wall, you're outside. Plain and simple. That's a Mishnah Maaser Sheni. So already we see the problem. Our Mishnah Makos tells us that the tree is defined by where the branches are. The Mishnah Maaser Sheni tells us, I don't care where the branches are. I don't care where the tree are. The wall establishes the parameters of whether you're in or whether you're out. By the way, just as an aside,
what if this is part of the wall?
Okay, fine. That fine, but let's. Let's just deal with the structure of the Gemara. Your question's valid, but just want to deal with the structure of the Gemara. Just one thing quickly before we go on. Tosfos raises this. Is a great question by Tosfos. Only Tosfos on the page. Tosfos raises this. You know, we learned the Gemara in Pesachim that when you eat your carbon Pesach, you write same rules. You have to eat it in Yerushalayim. Carbon Pesach is a shlamim, can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. You got to eat it on ground level. You cannot go up to the roof and eat your carbon Pesach on the roof. You remember back in the 10th parak of Pesachim where they talked about how for halal they went up to the roofs, but for eating of the carbon Pesach you have to be on ground level, right? And so Tosos over here asks, huh? I mean, the line of the Gemara is Gagos lo niskachu. Roofs weren't sanctified. I don't know why, but that's the Gemara in Pesachim. So Tosfos over here then says brilliantly, so how can you be sitting on a tree or on a branch and eating your Meister Sheni? It doesn't have the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Right, so, right, great question. So Tosfos over here to this question gives two answers. The Imke Meister Sheni in Oakland Al Ha Ilan. So one suggestion of Tosfos is that the branches are real small and they don't constitute its own platform, its own rishus, and so therefore you're like suspended in midair. And it still has the kedusha of Yerushalayim. That's one suggestion. That the kilo omdus be'avir keneged akarka. O yeshlamar. Demayri afilu be'ilan sha'anaf of merubin ve'avir Yerushalayim ki Yerushalayim. Right? The airspace of Yerushalayim is like Yerushalayim. Not totally clear what Tosfos means by that, but you're going to make the following distinction. You're going to basically say that when it comes to houses, so only first floor of a house has Kedusha, second floor does not. But the general airspace of Yerushalayim has the same Kedusha as Yerushalayim itself. Right? Not totally clear what he means by that, but something along those lines.
Why the same rules for all Pesach should apply to
Meister Sheni? Right, right.
I mean, because each korban has its different rules.
Yeah, but...
like, there are some korban that they have to eat it right in the Beit HaMikdash by
korban. Okay, I hear you. But here, not so much, though, because here, its korban is shlamim, and shlamim has to be in Yerushalayim. Meister Sheni has Kedusha, Meister Sheni has to be in Yerushalayim. Right? It's essentially the same operating principle. Okay.
According to Tosfos' second parents, in some way you would be in the air, so to speak, relating to Abiyu Shalim, you'd be Yotze Kurban Pesach.
Yeah, right, something like that. Something along those lines. Okay, back to our Gemara. So again, we have a stira. Mishnah Mako says the tree is based on where the branches are. Mishnah and Meister Sheni says, no, wherever the tree is, wherever you are, that is, I don't care where... I don't care the structure of the tree. Branches outside, trunk is... doesn't matter. It's where you are. Are you inside of Tchum? You're good. If you're outside of Tchum, you're not good. Right? So it's a stira. So the Gemara gives a couple of suggestions in terms of how to answer this. Okay. Meister Sheni. Sorry. Meister Aare Mikla Karamis. That's a stira. Meister Bechoma Tal Rechmana Aare Mikla Bedira Tal Rechmana. Okay, so the Gemara at first gives what is a very good answer. You're right, and that is: look, when you're talking about being in Yerushalayim, the walls are your border, your walls are your boundary. So it doesn't matter where the tree is; it matters where you are. Are you inside the wall? Are you outside the wall? When it comes to your miklat, what's the operating principle? Dira, where you establish residence. People establish residence not on the trunk, but on the branches. I mean, look at your birds. Your birds set up residence on the branches. When you set up a treehouse, I guess this is somewhat debatable, but let's not debate this. But you you put the treehouse on the branches, not on the trunk. Okay, so, fine. Virami, fine. So that and that would seem to be a very good answer. However, Rami Meiser, a Meiser, Ditanya, we learned in another Mishnah in Meiser. B'Yerushalayim halach achar hanof. Ba'ari miklat halach achar hanof. Oh, we have another Mishnah. And this Mishnah is talking about Maaser Sheni. In Yerushalayim, you go after the branches. In Eir Miklat, you go after the branches. Okay, so now we're really stuck. Because aside from the fact that there's a stira between a Mishnah Maaser Sheni and Mishnah Makos, there's now a stira between a Mishnah Maaser Sheni versus a Mishnah Maaser Sheni. Amar Rav Kahana lo kasha Rav Yehuda Rabbanan. So now the only way to really deal with this is to now start naming names. One Mishnah is going like one Tana, and another Mishnah is going like another Tana. Ditanya. And to make such a distinction, we have to know more information. The Gemara over here provides. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'mara olech achar pischa, b'ilan olech achar nofo. When it comes to a cave, you go after the entrance of the cave. Meaning that you can have a cave dug under Yerushalayim. If the entrance to the cave is outside the walls of Yerushalayim, that tunnel is not Yerushalayim. That tunnel is like outside Yerushalayim. Same thing with a tree. You follow the branches. If the trunk of the tree is in Yerushalayim, but the branches are outside, that tree is outside of Yerushalayim. Okay. Eimah d'sham alei Rav Yehuda gabei ma'isa l'chumra. Ikar b'chutz v'nof. Right. This idea of Rav Yehuda always... Wait, one second. This idea of Rav Yehuda always represents a chumra. Always. Why? So the Gemara explains. Ikar b'chutz v'nof b'fnim keichud b'nof lo matvi parek. B'ikar enami lo matvi parek. Let's start off with the following example. The trunk of the tree is outside. The branches are inside. That's a chumra. Why? Because on the branches, I can't redeem Maaser Sheni. When I have Maaser Sheni fruit and I'm in Yerushalayim, you're stuck. You can't redeem the Maaser Sheni. The Maaser Sheni must be eaten. Okay? So just like I can't do that by the branches, I can't do that by the trunk. Bikaronami lomati parik. Okay? Let's go the other way. Ikaro mi bifnim, if the trunk is inside, and the branch venofo mi bechutz and the branches are outside, ki hechi de benofo lomati achel below pedia, I can't eat the fruit without redeeming it by the trunk. By the branches. Bikaronami lomati achel below pedia. Same thing would be true by the trunk as well. So in other words, according to Rav Yehuda, either way, trunk inside, branches outside, trunk outside, branches inside, there it will generate a chumra. It will generate a chumra. Elagabi ari miklat. But when it comes to the year miklat, that's not true. Bishlami kar b'chutz v'nofa b'bifnim. If the trunk is outside, the branches are inside, that's certainly a chumra. Chumra, by the way, to the rotzeach. Ki hechid b'nofa l'matzik katolei b'ikar, I'm sorry, chumra to the goel hadam. Ki hechid b'nofa l'matzik katolei b'ikar nami l'matzik katolei. Okay, you wouldn't be allowed to kill him by the trunk. Ela ikarom b'fnim. But if the trunk is inside, v'nofa b'chutz, ki hechid b'nofa matzik katolei b'ikar nami matzik katolei. So then the goel hadam would be allowed to kill him. And the Gemara assumes, and it's an interesting assumption, that Rav Yehuda is only going to state this only when it results in a chumra. But over here, it results in a serious kula. You can go into the tchum of the Eir Miklat, and you can kill the rotzeach. And Rav Yehuda, to that degree, Rav Yehuda wouldn't say his position.
When did the goel hadam have to go into the tchum to climb the trunk?
Hold on one second. Wait. Okay. Yeah, that's very prophetic of you. Just wait one moment. The Hagavai Ka'amar. So the Gemara says, Nami Matikatolei. Hagavai Kai. So Amar, and he's inside the Tchum. Amarava. So now the Gemara is going to say the following. Bi'ikaru dekuli amalo pligi de la matikato. Okay. By the trunk, there's no way you can kill. Kai benofa, I'm sorry, delomatikato. Kai benofa viachalo hargo bechitim uvitzraros de kule amalo pligi de matikato lay. Look, let's talk about that tree where the trunk is inside the tchum and the branches are outside of tchum. Okay? Now we said that when it comes to a tree, how do we define it? By its branches. Okay. By the trunk, no, you can't kill him. You're inside the tchum. You can't kill him. By the branches, fine, go ahead. In other words, and if you could shoot at him, right, with arrows, or you could throw rocks at him, that would be fine. Go ahead, go for it. Keep ligi. When is there a debate? B'mehave ikaru dargo lenofo. Okay. is the Goel Adam allowed to do the following? Can the Goel Adam go inside the tchum, climb the trunk of the tree, in order to go to the branch to where the Rotzeach is sitting and kill him that way? Can he do that? That, says the Gemara, is a machlokus between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, and that will resolve our stira between Mishnayos. Mar Savar have ikaro darga lenofo, Umar Savar lo have ikaro darga lenofo, and that's the machlokus. Machlokus is: can we view the trunk as a stepladder to the nof? Meaning, according to the Chacham, remember, what did the Chachamim say? The wall is the wall. The wall is what separates the trunk from the tree. The wall separates. So according to the Chachamim, I have to look at them as two separate entities. Meaning, even though it's, of course, one entire tree, but the trunk's inside, the branches are outside, I must view them separately. I do not have the right to just simply go inside the tchum, climb up the trunk, go to the branch. I can't do that, because I have to look at them as two separate entities. If he's on the branches which are outside, and I want to shoot some arrows at him, or throw stones at him, that I'm allowed to do. But to go inside, go up the trunk, that I can't do. That would be the Chacham's viewpoint. And what would Rabbi Yehuda say? No. No, hakol holech achar hanof. The very definition of a tree is based on its branches. Once the branches are outside, the tree is outside. Right? Even though physically the roots and the trunk of the tree are inside, I basically take the whole tree and define it after its nof. Okay? And that now means that I'm allowed to go inside a tchum, climb up the trunk, and go chase him down. I went inside a tchum. No, I didn't. Because the tree is legally considered outside the tchum. Okay. Yeah, I told you from the very beginning. I told you from the very beginning. It's a big chiddush. I suspect that most people intuitively wouldn't have concluded that way.
Another thing is it for the Goel Adam? Is there a prohibition for him to step into the city, or is it prohibition for him to just kill the guy in the city? Can he step into the city and while the guy's outside, shoot an arrow at him?
It would seem no. It would seem that part of that protection of the city means that the Goel Adam really has no right to be there. Right. It seems to be that way.
Even if he's not killing him.
Right. Rav Ashi Amar, and now finally one last answer to this question. Rav Ashi Amar, my achar hanof, af achar hanof. Rav Ashi says, a simple solution, a very simple solution to all this, is that when it says hakol holech achar hanof, it means af hanof, meaning the whole tree, right? Not just the branches, but the entire tree. By saying that, we are no longer left with a stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni. You could say that regardless of where the tree is, if the branches are inside and he's on the branches, even the branches would be considered part of the tree. He can kill him even on the branches, and that's Rav Ashi's resolution of the problem. Okay, let's go on. We have. I'd like to finish the parak in the very least. The branches are defining the tree. Okay, harig ba'osayir gola mishkuna l'shkuna. Okay, a real shlamazel. He killed. He got sent to a near miklat, and lo and behold, another accident happens in the ear miklat. So now what? So the Mishnah tells us, so he has to move from one association to another association inside the ear miklat.
Does that mean that the Goel Adam have to move out of the city now?
The who?
The Goel Adam has to move.
Let's assume. I don't know. Let's just. I understand. I don't know. U ben Levi, Goel me ear le ear. Now, what if the ben Levi? Now, remember, the Levi lives in the ear miklat. You know, he's not a killer. That's just where he lives. But, right, backs up his car, doesn't see the person behind him, kills the guy, right? Shogeg should have known better. I don't know how you want to qualify that. Der Chalia, Der Chirida, whatever. Let's just assume, that Shogeg, and now he has to go from one ear miklat and he has to go to another ear miklat. Tana Rabbanu v'samti l'cha makom v'samti l'cha b'chayecha makom mimkomcha asher yanushama. Melamisha, you saw Magalan b'midbar. Even in the midbar, there was galos. Lehecha Megalin, and where were they? Golamach and Leviah. Okay, Mikan Amru. Now, that's good if you're Yisroa. What if you are a Levi? Mikan Amru ben Levi Shara Golami Plach Laplach. So you have to go, I'm just throwing out an example, you have to go from Kahat and you got to go over to Merari. Or you got to go from Merari and you got to go to Gershon. The Imgal Lapacho, Palcho the Imgala Lifalcho, Palcho Kolta. However, the Brisa acknowledges that even if you go to your own municipality, it's okay. It's fine. Am Ravachabre de Rav Ika, my Kraki be Ir Miklato Yashav, Ir Shekalta Sokvar. Even if it's your own Ir Miklat, it still provides you with Klita, with protection. Okay. Kayot Sebo. Okay, you go to an ear miklat, you kill somebody inadvertently, manslaughter, and you go to an ear miklat, and now the shul wants to honor you. They have their dinner, and they hear that you come to town. They honored everyone else around, right? They're sitting around. Who are we going to honor this year? Okay, so now we have a new guy in town, and he seems like a really nice guy, and so let's honor him. Now he has the responsibility to say, I'm sorry, ani. You know, I have to tell you, I'm a murderer. Just let's be clear about this.
Yes, somebody else. So the people would not know that he's coming from, like, the. He's being.
There are many people living in the Yer Miklat.
No, but he's being escorted by two captives.
Right. You're right. It's strange. It's strange that they didn't know that. Amru lo, afa b'ken yikabal mehen shenemar. So, and if they say, it's okay. we've honored worse. So Afa Piken Yikaba Mam Shanamar Vizedvar Rotseach. And how do we know this halacha? It's generated from Vizedvar Harotseach. And again, the Gemara's playing on the word Dvar, right? It's Dibor. In other words, he's gonna state his case. Okay.
What was the honor that they extended, by the way? I mean, it wasn't being a Jew. I mean, what was
it? I mean, maybe they wanted to make him a council member. I don't know. They honoring people is as old as, you know, as old as time. I don't know. Malam ayuschar levim divra aviyuda rabbi meir amar lo hayu malam lem schar. Levim, can they collect rent from our rotzeach? Do they have the right to do so? Now Rashi says ha'arim schar levim shirotz kum sochem em es bate hadira. Right? Can the levim charge for them to rent? Tosos doesn't sound like Rashi, right? The top Tosos on the page. Perish Rotzchem Abayim V'Darim Sham Tzrichem Lahalos Mas V'Arnuna L'Leviim. Property tax, real estate tax. Delotem Gzeres Hamelech Al L'Leviim La'Akev Osam Be'Iram. It's not like, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Leviim, you must take them. It's not like that. Rabbi Yehuda says no. They have a right. It's like you want to live here, fine, but you got to pay like everybody else pays, right? So, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Huh?
Can the levim take an income?
Right. So, it could be. I'm trying. Right. It could be that Tosos doesn't like Rashi because the levim are not really balabatim. They're not real, right? They don't really own it. Right. Rabbi Meir Omer lo hayu malam lam schar. Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir says no, they don't have the right to take schar. V'chozel l'shor shayabam. Okay, now, if and when they're ever released from Ir Miklat, and they go back home. Can they take on the same position that they had previously? So again, machlokas. Rabbi Meir says, yeah, they can go back to their position. Right? Rabbi Uda Omer, lo haya chozer l'shor shayaba. And Rabbi Uda says, no, they cannot take on that position. So for example, if he was mayor of the town, and he killed the Rotzeach, I'm sorry, he killed the Shogeg, and now he spends his time in Yer Miklat, he does his time. He comes out of Yer Miklat. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, he can't assume the same position that he once had. A lot to discuss over here, although it's a little bit of Gemara, Amar of Kahana, Machlokes B'sheish. Okay, we talk about this idea of collecting of tax, right? Collecting of tax or collecting rental income. So Rav Kahana says the whole machlokas is by the six. Marsav alachem leklito, marsav alachem lechol tzarcheichem. Okay? When the Torah says that these ir miklat are lachem, right? Who is the lachem? So that's the machlokas. So one opinion is that lachem is for the purpose of klita. And the other one says no, lachem means levim have ownership, which means that they can collect rent or tax. But by the other 42, everyone agrees, ein malam lam schar, they're not entitled to collect. Okay? Because you don't have the special din of lachem. Amalei Rava. So Rava says, No, I don't agree. Rabbi says, look, whenever you have the word lachem, it means for your needs. Right? We find this a couple places throughout Shas, that you have the word lachem. Lachem means it's all yours. So when we talk about the Ir Miklat, lachem, belonging to the Levim, it means the city is theirs. They can collect tax. What do you mean? The Rashi and the second Rashi and the Gemara, right? Lerotzchim Namar. The question, the way the Gemara originally sets it up, who's Lachem talking to? Is it talking to the Levim, owners of the city, or no? It's talking to the Rotzchim. That's the way the Gemara initially sets it up. Rava now says no.
Could be just anybody.
I don't think the pasuk says Lachem.
Fine. Rava says no. Lachem is a chotzer chaychem. El amarava machlokes barim mishtayim. So Rava says no. The whole debate in our Mishnah between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda is only by the 42. Damar savar va'aleim titnu ki hanach leklita. Umar savar va'aleim titnu ki hanach. Ma hanach lechotzer chaychem. Av haninam lechotzer chaychem. Av abeshesh devarakol la hayumalam mischar. Okay, the only question is, are the 42 going to be like the six? Meaning, like we discussed this before, there are six Ari Miklat that are firmly established, geographically established, where they're going to be amongst Eretz Yisrael. And then there's another 42. And then we talked about earlier in the Perek, how by the other 42, it's only if they have Kavana. In other words, only if they run there and they say, I'm using this as my Ir Miklat. By the six are more objectively Ir Miklat, Ari Miklat. By the other 42, they're not as objective. So now the question becomes over here, what about legally, what about other statuses? Are the 42 going to be like the six? That is the machlokas, the Gemara says, between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Chozo l'shor shahayabot, tenu tana rabbanu v'shava mishpachto v'achuzas sal. I'm sorry, v'achuzas avosav. Yashuv l'mishpachto. Yashuv. Sorry, I butchered that. Let me do that again. V'shava mishpachto ve'el achuzas avosav yashuv. Period. Okay. This is talking about our Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri, right? Got sold into slavery. Now he's not an Eved Kanani. He's an Eved Ivri. It's like an indentured servitude. And then he goes back home. So the pasuk says, right? This is Bahar, Bechukosai. So the Pasuk says, he goes back to Achuzas Avosav. Lemishpachto Hushav, Ve'eno Shav, Lemashich Ziku Avosav, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, Afushav, Lemashich Ziku Avosav. Al Achuzas Avosav, Ka'avosav. So we have a machlokes regarding our Eved Ivri. Same machlokes as by us. By Eved Ivri. He's a slave. And now he comes back. He's emancipated. Does he go back to his original status? Machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. V'chein begola. And we have a similar machlokes by exile. Kishu Omer, Yashuv l'rabas esarotzech. My v'chein begola kitetanya. Yashuv rotzech l'aretzech huzasol, l'aretzech huzasol shav. V'eno shav l'mashiach zikwa v'asav. Divrei Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, afu shav l'mashiach zikwa v'asav. Gamar shiva shiva me'asam. And the Gemara says it's an absolute gzer shava. Meaning that whatever position you're going to take regarding the Eved Ivri, can you go back to your original position? Rav Yehuda says, no, you can't. Rav Meir says, yes, you can. It's the same machlokas regarding the exiled Rotzeach. Interesting to note, by the way, that in our Mishnah, look at a subtle difference between the Mishnah and the Brisa we just learned. In the Mishnah, we weren't talking about his inherited parental position. In the Mishnah, we're talking about whatever position he was. In the Braisa, we're talking about Sheikhziku Avosav, some sort of inherited parental position. The father was the mayor of the town, and I don't know, in that town, I guess, it went, you know, lineage. Right. So he now is established as the, you know, by inheritance by the mayor of the town. And it's just interesting that the Mishnah and the Braisa are the Mishnah is more interested in him and his position, and the Braisa is more interested in what his legacy was.
The son of a king cannot be the prince.
Right, right. No. The Eved Ivri does lose a certain amount of status. Think about it this way. An Eved Ivri, when he becomes an Eved Ivri, he can marry Shifcha Kananis. Right? Something that a Jew would never be able to do. He does lose a little bit of status. Hajalach Elohai Nagol, and that is the end of the second parak. Okay, Shkach. Tomorrow we begin, we'll start with the third parak of Makos, right? The reason why it's called Makos, talking about, we'll start the discussion of giving out lashes.